Well, I'm a bit of a paradox, I guess, at least stereotypically. I'm a person of German extraction. Well, actually a mixed bag, not just German. Let's say Germanic, who doesn't mind the occasional hug or embrace. As long as it's not with a stranger. A couple of years ago, there was, for me at least, a bizarre scene outside of one of our stores in town. A very naive young man had put up a sign that read, "Free hug if you need one." My problems with this were the obvious ones. Potential sexual harassment, etc. This handsome young man had not thought any of this through. He had not thought through the creep factor in such a gesture. But there was something else, the reason really that he hadn't realized how creepy it was, and I'm really not trying to pick on him. Perhaps you've been hugged by a stranger and found it helpful, I don't know. He was doing this as a demonstration of God's love. Of God's love for people. Now I want to juxtapose that opening anecdote with the third part of Romans 8, which is assigned every third year of our lectionary cycle to the summer months, a shame, I think, because as I've attempted to demonstrate at my first two cracks at this chapter, the previous 2 weeks, in many ways what Paul is saying here is right at the center of the center in terms of the New Testament claim about what God is up to in the world. In parts 1 and 2, I said, in effect, that in the extraordinary work and life of Jesus Christ, God has definitively freed us from condemnation, whether we still experience condemnation or not. God has definitively freed us from all band-aid solutions and shown us what it means to live well by helping us breathe God's very being, the Spirit. The same word in Hebrew and Greek, I said, as breath. Helping us breathe the fresh air of divinity in the midst of the smoky haze that still affects us, but need not make us asthmatics anymore in terms of the suffocating effects of sin and suffering that we've all committed or had committed against us. Now, I'd encourage you to read the entire chapter, especially in Eugene Peterson's paraphrase this afternoon or evening. The previous two sermons are also available on our website for those of you that are interested in living deeper into why this is the center of the center. Oh, you ask what the address is? Right, it's abbotsfordanglican.ca. As Paul builds to the climax of his argument, one thing will become clear. What he's been saying only makes sense if one central thing is true. Something that we can talk about glibly, something that has become banal to say because it's so obvious. But which is still comparatively, in my pastoral ministry now for almost a quarter of a century, rarely experienced, rarely pursued, and so is still in many ways the great undiscovered country that is the Christian possibility. Well, I'm just speaking of this very simple phrase, God's love. God's love. It's what makes everything that Paul is saying possible. Well, what is it? What difference does it make really? And is there a way to live into it, to experience it regularly? The glorious answer that Paul gives here in Romans 8 in broad outline is yes. Yes. Of course, we need way more than what Paul gives us here in Romans 8. We need a path of spiritual formation that will guide us into the love of God, that will guide us into the fulfilling of the great command that Jesus gave us, which is to love God with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, our strength, and love our neighbor as we love ourselves. We'll need more than just the broad outline to get there. But here we have the core reality laid out. At the heart of things, at the very center of the center, in Eugene Peterson's paraphrase, is the fact that God doesn't hesitate to embrace, to hug our condition. God embraces our condition by climbing right inside of it. God's breath is inside of us, becoming, as our translation puts it, the searcher of our hearts. Not to find out all the bad things, though those things are there and God is not afraid of them, but to turn all that we have experienced and are, both the good and the bad, even a mistaken marriage, by the way, one of the best lines in all of Scripture we just heard this morning. When morning came, it was Leah. Or as my kids would say, what the... And this kind of climbing inside of our condition is to turn it all into prayer, even when we can't. Even when all we can do is groan, oh no, what is my life coming to? And we find that the Spirit is right there with us groaning too. This hug of God, which is an embrace of our condition, is so close that it helps us discover ourselves. Sorry, I've got the wrong page here. I don't have the wrong page. We say that when someone is, when something is awesome, that it takes our breath away. But here, God gives us our breath, gently leading us, simply being with us, as I said, helping us discover ourselves for the sake of something greater than ourselves. Even when living for something greater than ourselves seems a pipe dream, God embraces our sense of helplessness. The truth is, many of the most important things in our lives, which are in fact relationships, make us feel helpless, don't they? When we look at our children or our parents and we think, they have to make a choice. I can't make it for them. But oh, I wish they would choose rightly. I wish they would choose life. Even when we pray from that sense of helplessness, God is breathing in and through us as that thought flits through our minds. And so we find that God embraces our hopes, our dreams, our longings, and says deep within us, what I did in Christ, I'm doing in you. You are somebody. There's not one detail of your life in search of God's love that I won't weave into something good, even if it was originally bad. Leah. Leah's not bad, but, you know, Jacob's expectations were different, shall we say? Paul goes on to say that we can affirm that those last extremely unlikely comments are in fact true because God's embrace not only hugs us in the depths of our condition, but God becomes our condition in the humanity of Jesus Christ. In the famous words of the great early church father Athanasius, God cannot save what God was not willing to assume, to become. And God assumed it all, even the horror of a torturous death. And so our experiences, our enemies, sometimes even our family and friends accuse us. But there's not one iota of condemnation coming from God who has become one of us. That is why, just to pick on my naive friend in front of the store offering a free commitmentless hug again, why what he was doing is so counterproductive. however well-meaning and sincere he was. See, God's embrace, God's hug, is the very definition of commitment, of long-term commitment, for us. Not in some vague, insubstantial way, but in literally a bodily, psychological intimacy of which no greater commitment can be imagined. If we can imagine a greater commitment, we have not yet imagined what Paul is talking about here. This love, which is the only word for this, but of course a love that Paul must now spell out in its full power in a series of how much more statements, right? Nothing, absolutely nothing. And he just goes through the metaphysical list. Absolutely nothing is greater than this love. But really, it's so fantastic to me in my experience of it, because it doesn't smother us. It's so powerful, and yet it doesn't seek to control us. It seeks to actually set us free. God's embrace in the actuality of our messy lives is not a manipulative hug. Have you ever experienced one of those? Not something that holds the possibility of greater cooperation with the Spirit and Christ over us, like a baton, you better get into the game. But as an ongoing invitation, as an assurance that we are headed to glory, even if it's via suffering. So that you and I will, with fresh hope, with fresh faith, take up the challenge both to make room for God's embrace and make room for ourselves and the community of faith. So that we will embrace our lives as persons and as community. Many people try to escape their lives, their past choices, their regrets, with every manner of diversion, with all manner of pining for anything else than the one life they actually have. Paul lays it on thick in this text, not to get us to aspire to leave our lives, but precisely so that we might embrace our lives with God's embrace, with God's love. And so practically, I would say to you today, allow this thick, deep, rich center of the center draw you into prayer. Whether practice of silence or simply taking a part of your day to talk to God, just as you would talk to your partner or your best friend, as you would talk to somebody here in fellowship hour. As I've chatted with a few of you this past year who've taken up even something of a small practice, you've told me it's beginning to make a difference. Some of you are learning how to practice silence, just being in God's presence. Some of you are learning how to speak, maybe for the first time to God, in a way that you wouldn't have imagined possible. You've been so used to the formality of the liturgy that you're now discovering there can be something alongside of that, a freeness, an openness. I would say wherever you're at in your spiritual journey, embrace it. Allow it to become part of you. It's really just like a small seed hidden from view. But if you persist, it will open you more and more to a fruitfulness maybe you haven't imagined. We all, whatever background we come from, whether it's Anglo or Germanic, South Asian, Indigenous, etc., however comfortable we are with the concept of embrace or hug, we all need a path on our journey in which we can experience, learn to experience God's embrace. Probably especially if your own experience of affection with those most important to you has been troubled. It is then that we most need the ministrations of a Spirit-led practice. Spirit-led mentors who can walk with us and so help us realize the reality of what Paul is talking about here. If you don't really have a practice yet, I'd recommend, we have prayer booklets at the back. We have Erica's contemplative group. We have people who are familiar with being spiritual companions. I'd recommend the Pray As You Go app online for your phone or a website for your computer. It's put together by the Jesuits of Ireland, and it's just a daily 10-minute prayer time that leads you into God's presence via music, scripture, and prayers. I'd recommend talking to your parish priest about a practice that makes sense for you, because God is not a stranger. God is inside everything that is important to you and wants to help you connect to yourself, to others, to all that is central, all that is good, beautiful, and true. To never let anything separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.